like to introduce Andre Biscaro.
Hi. Okay, sounds good. Hi, good morning, everybody. So today I'll be talking about this project where we're trying to integrate agronomic information to computer apps in order to make water, nitrogen, fertilizer recommendation easier. I don't know how many of you are familiar with water and nitrogen management. Can you please give me an idea? Raise your hands, please, if you work on water, somehow water or nitrogen management. So maybe just two people. So I'll try to be brief on evolving on that data, but I should have left some slides in here that explains a little better how the software works, but I'll try to spend more time on that. So the idea here of basically of my research and extension program is to better understand plant growth and needs for water and nitrogen management and to create practical and efficient means for water and nitrogen fertilizer management. So the specific object of this study here is to assess crop manages water and nitrogen fertilizer recommendations. So crop manage is a program, it's a software that database-driven web application. Basically, you open a browser, you type this address in here, and then the software runs. Some of the background information the software uses to create the recommendations are soil type, weather station data. That's real-time weather station information. In this case, we use the California Irrigation Management and Information System. It's a network of weather stations spread throughout California. And then we use information like soil nitrate tests, could be the quick test or could be the laboratory analysis. And with that, we use models that we create these models based on the plant growth, like root depth, canop development, nitrogen uptake, in order to create the water and nitrogen fertilizer recommendations. How the water recommendations work, how they are created. Basically, the software taps into the weather station data since the last irrigation. So if I irrigated 5 days ago and I want to irrigate again today, the software taps into that with weather station data, gets the total reference evapotranspiration, and multiplies that by the crop coefficient of the crop on that specific stage. And we know that based on the how many days after planting you are in the season. So with canop development, taking canop photos throughout the season, we're able to create curves that, based on how many days after planting, we have a pretty decent shot of what the canop cover is. And then we change crop coefficient based on the canop cover. We're looking to introduce in degree days instead of days after planting for more accuracy of that information. Other data that the software uses is the application rate, distribution uniformity, and leaching fraction. So it takes all that into consideration to make a water recommendation. So I don't know, in case you were to create a water recommendation as comprehensive as one that includes this type of information, you know that it takes some time to do that. And I was doing that before using the software. It's labor-intensive, it takes time, and the software creates this in just a matter of a couple seconds. The nitrogen fertilizer recommendation is determined based on the crop uptake of that specific plant and the soil nitrogen threshold. So for different crops, we believe that certain amount of nitrate in the soil for a specific growth stage is ideal for growing that crop. That's based on how much that crop is taken up. So those are all studies that we conducted since 2014 up to now. We're still collecting information of nitrogen uptake. And during the season, we introduce the nitrate values in the soil. So for example, if we're into a crop late in the season, for example, some vegetable crops that will take about 3 to 4 pounds of nitrogen per acre per day, then you have an idea of how much nitrogen you need in a week. So if you know how much nitrogen there is in the soil, you have a really good idea of what your fertilization program should look like. So that's what the program does. So once we adapted this software that was actually created by one of my colleagues in Monterey County, Michael Kahn. By the way, this is a software. It's free of use and it's created by the University of California Cooperative Extension. So after adapting this to the celery and Ventura celery and strawberries in Ventura County, we tested the program. So we created recommendations based on the software, done in replicated studies, and compared that with what the grower was doing. In each specific case, was a different grower. So for strawberries, we did 3 replicated studies, all randomized complete block design, 2 treatments, as I mentioned. One recommendation was based on crop management, and the other one was based on, it was just the grower standard. Whatever the grower is doing, that's what the other treatment was. So before I get into the details of the results for one of the fields, I'd like to show you a summary of the results. So we had 2 seasons, 2015 to 2016, and 2016 and 17 for 2 fields, Ventura and Monterey County. So we had, so this is yield, water, and nitrogen fertilizer use of crop manage of the recommendations for that treatment compared to the grower standard. So compared to the grower standard, on this study here, we had 22% more yield, 14% higher use in water, and 34% higher use in nitrogen fertilizer. For the second study, we had 27% more yield, 32% higher use of water, and 26% more fertilizer use. For this study here, only 2% more yield, but 29% lower water and 10% lower fertilizer use. One thing that you notice for strawberries and celery, and for any study that we actually do with the software, is that the recommendations of the software are usually pretty constant, depending on what the climate's doing, what nitrate, how much nitrogen there is in the soil. But what changes is, for each one of those studies, we had a different cooperator. So the water management and the nitrogen management was different. So that's why you don't see a consistency in water and nitrogen fertilizer use. Sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less. So in this example here conducted in Oxnard, this is some of the characteristics of the field, but I'm not getting too much details as most of you are not into water and nitrogen management. But basically we used the flow meters, quick nitrate tests, soil moisture sensors to monitor those parameters. This is in-season nitrogen fertilizer applied in kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. So basically, there was a huge amount of pre-plant controlled release fertilizer applied to this field, which is not common for the region, but this grower relied on that. And then he had a very reduced amount of nitrogen applied throughout the season, believing that pre-plant controlled release nitrogen would provide the nitrogen he needed. With the software, we noted that the nitrate levels in the soil were low at the peak season, and we kept applying more fertilizer. Same thing for water. Our plants were a lot bigger. They had more nitrogen. They were bigger, and we applied a lot more water. So there was about 260 millimeters of rains, or 10 inches. And this is soil moisture content, just to illustrate that we stayed in an optimal range for strawberry production here, where the grower kind of went up, not too much, but he did go up when the season started picking up production. The canopy coverage was about the same. We're just a little above the grower. And this is the yield, marketable yield data, where you see an average of 27% more yields for the crop managed treatment. For January, February, and March, yields were about the same. That's the low production time of the year. But when production really picked up, when the plants need that water and nitrogen, in April we had 36% more yields. In May, we had 73% more. And in June, 26% more. In average, for the whole season, we had 27% more. That's statistically significant. Grams per foot was about the same, except that we had a little, like a 4 or 5 grams higher than the grower standard core rate, although we applied a lot more nitrogen. Our core rates was either the same or lower. And the reason for that is that our nitrate in the soil is also low. So in that, in this study here, we had 35% more water, 30% more fertilizer, and 27% more yield, 3% less core rate. To contrast this information, the information of that study with the study we did last a season prior to that, in 2016 we had 14% more water, 34% more fertilizer, 22% more yield, and 1% less cool rate. So one thing that I noted that's common, especially for our region in strawberry production, is that growers are cautious about nitrogen fertilizer application because they're concerned with mostly two things. They believe, or most of them believe, that if you apply too much nitrogen, the plant will grow too much and will reduce the amount of fruits. That's not what we observed in the experiment. We do have, there really is an impression that because we have more, relatively more leaves than fruits, you believe that's less, but it's not. The other point is that growers believe that applying too much nitrogen increases the core rate, and that's only the case if the plant's not using the nitrogen. If that nitrogen is accumulated in the root zone and that associated with some climate conditions, yeah, that causes more fruit quality issues, but we didn't have that. So we presented information in two field days in 2017 and 2016. And let's jump into the results for the celery study, where we did four, again, randomized complete block design studies, two treatments again, same thing, crop manage and the grower standard, two different seasons. Three of those studies were in Ventura County, one in Monterey County. Most of the studies were standalone or loam. Now let's take a look at this specific study here conducted in Oxnard end of last year. So we used the same equipment, same methods for the study with the strawberries. And this is the result in here. We had, for yields in all those studies, they were higher or about the same as the grower standard. However, the differences are not significant, statistically significant. Water used and fertilizer use really depends on the field. Some fields use more water, some fields use less water, same thing for nitrogen. It really depends on if the grower is applying the right amount and the right time for those inputs. So this is just to illustrate, we reduced an application storage at the end of the season. We noted good levels of nitrate in the soil, so we avoided some fertigations. Water application, although we're applying water a lot more often, we end up with the same amount of applications than the grower. And this is the summary here, where we had similar water use, 24% less water, and for total marketable yield, we had some issues with the harvest of this trial, so, and the differences are not statistically different. So, to finalize, the use of the softer weeder the same or greater compared to the grower standard treatments. So, every time it changes if you use more water or fertilizer, depending on that treatment, but yields were the same or higher. And I believe that's being achieved by applying the right rate and the right time of nitrogen fertilizer and water. So those methods for water and nitrogen fertilizer recommendation are very comprehensive and takes a lot of time, and the software makes it very easy to do. The algorithms will continue to be improved with more research. So we have certain number of fields that predicted canopy, nitrogen uptake, and root depth, but the more we incorporate, the more accurate the information will be and the recommendation. So with that, I'd like to acknowledge some parties here involved in the study, and I'll take any questions in case there are any or comments. Yes. Right.
And then we take it to that stage, we can find ourselves what happens.
Exactly. Thank you for the comment. That's a very good point. And this topic he raised up when I discussed this data with the grower. He said, well, but this is going to take me a lot longer to harvest. And labor is really expensive, a lot more expensive than water. But how much is yield? So I do need to put that information there. But an answer to your question is we did investigate. So this farmer has about 5-6 harvesting crews. And I talked to the five leaders of those crews, and since those plots were in a block and the rest of the block was managed that way, they were aware of how long more, and they knew that it was taking longer to harvest those plots. So they estimated between 25 and 30% more time. But if you think about 25% more time to harvest to get 30% more yield or 27% more yield, well, that pays off. That's significant. So. No.
If there's 30%
more yield, and 25% more harvest, something like that, but the harvest might cost, I don't know, $10 an hour.
Right.
Yeah, $5 a year for yield. Right. No, that's a good point. And if by any means that's the case, he would have already stopped harvesting towards the end of the season because his yields are a lot lower. But the object of the project is to optimize yields, but I'll get into the economics and look into that for sure. Any other questions or comments?
How do you monitor
the soil sample? Right. So we took soil samples, about 12 cores per treatment throughout all the plots, and those are 12 inches deep, and we did the quick nitrate test for that. So we did that weekly. I didn't show the data here because we have so much data, but and also it's an analysis for the laboratory for early and late season. Right. Really good point. Oleg is a co-author of this study, and he was involved. So, you know, in trying to make 15 minutes of the presentation, I did cut a lot of slides, but one of the slides would be what we're trying to address is actually not only water conservation, but regulations with nitrogen moving out of the root zone and being a contamination for groundwater.